This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, hi there, and thank you so much, Parker. I'm Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. Today's guest is someone near and dear to my heart. I take great pride in supporting musicians, and especially those from my home state of Michigan, because I see them far more often than I do the regional and national acts. My favorite part of this is watching them develop their style and sounds, and I've been on the sidelines observing this woman of the blues for a couple of years now. In 2019 and 2022, she burst on the scene, claiming Detroit Channel 4's Vote for the Best, but she was just getting started. She won the 2023 Blues Brawl for the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing and represented us in Memphis at the International Blues Challenge. And in 2024, she took another bite at the apple, winning the blues competition for the West Michigan Blues Society, representing them the following January in Memphis. She has appeared at the Women in Blues Showcase in Memphis, as well as two of our local Women in Blues Showcases here in Michigan. And she was a double winner of the 2025 Music Awards, taking Best Blues Album for Break These Walls Down and Best Blues Single for So Many Personalities. It's a pretty full pedigree, if you ask me, for her last few years. So let's welcome our guest, Lexi Blue. Lexi, welcome to Time Signatures. Didn't I just see you recently?
Yes, thanks, sir. I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you back. So, Lex, where did you get your fascination with music? Where did it all start for you?
So, ever since I was a young kid, I knew I loved singing. Mm-hmm. But I was a ball player. I was a huge basketball player. That was my life as a kid. My dream was, to be in the WNBA. And, I would always have these side dreams where I'd be, the WNBA star, but also, the famous singer, you know? So I knew I had the love for music ever since I was younger, but it wasn't really until my teenage years where I kind of ventured out into, not just, singing in the shower.
Wait a minute. Were you one of those little girls dancing around, singing into her hairbrush like my daughter used to do by chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And believe it or not, because I have no stage fright at all now, but when I was younger, when I was a girl, I remember singing. It was one of my best friend's parents' house, and they were having some birthday party, and they had a karaoke machine in their garage, and I got up and I sang a song, and they're like, oh my gosh, and they were all surprised and stuff that I could sing. But I was really shy about it because I was a tomboy and I was the basketball player, and for some reason in my mind I was I can't be a singer. That makes me look weak. I don't know why I had that in my mind, because I was such a strong basketball player. I just thought I don't know, kids have weird things, right? So that was one of my things when I was a child. So it wasn't really until my teenage years when I call them my adopted parents out in Vegas. They were famous musicians, and they are still musicians in Vegas.
Nice.
That really I ventured out in my shell, so out of my shell.
Okay. So who were your favorite performers or bands that you were interested in when you were growing up?
So when I was growing up, it was everybody's Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey. And then I grew up on country, and I absolutely loved country music. So Martina McBride and Shania Twain. So those were my younger inspirations before I really knew what the blues was, right?
Okay.
And then when I found the blues, it was Shanova Magnus, Danielle Nicole, Coco Taylor, James Taylor. Yeah, so those were my really big influences for the blues.
Very cool. Now, at what point did you decide or realize that the life of a musician was in the cards for you?
It was when I seen my adoptive parents doing what they did. I always thought when you did music, I didn't really understand the live local music scene, because I was just a teenager, right?
Sure.
And a kid growing up, and we didn't really, you don't go to bars, you don't see that kind of stuff. And if you don't have people in your family around it, you don't really understand it. So my understanding of music was always like, oh, I got to go on American Idol or do this to make it big, big time, right? I didn't even know this like local or regional music scene existed until, I got with or I went and lived with my adoptive parents, and they did that in Vegas. They did it 6 days a week. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm gonna do. And it was a pretty drastic life-changing moment for me because, like I said, my entire life was ball, right? And I had, these scholarship opportunities for basketball, and my whole life was planned around basketball. That's what I was gonna
Wow.
do. And I gave that
Yeah.
all up to try and pursue music. And I don't regret any of it. I don't regret any of it. If I go back and tell my younger self, I'd say, go and do this first and then do this. But I don't regret any of it because I wouldn't be where I am today. But that's really, where I started was with them in Vegas, getting up and performing with them. And then I actually ended up taking a year off of school and moving back to Michigan for college. When I moved back to Michigan from Vegas, I put an ad on Craigslist and got in like my first band here.
No kidding.
And So I joined somebody else's band, and it wasn't just blues, it was classic rock, it was a little blues, a little everything. And then I met my husband. And when I met my husband, he was a metalhead. Like a
Guitar
hard rock metalhead.
player,
And he's a guitar player,
yeah.
and he's in a rock band, right? And he's great. He's amazing, amazing singer and guitar player. And so then I was like, okay, well, why don't we fuse our talents and make one band? And so we did a cover band for years, and we still have that cover band where
Oh,
we do
cool.
all genres, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, let's see, I debuted Lexi Blue in 2023, the band, Lexi Blue Band. So it wasn't until 2023, I was like, listen, I have all these originals that I want to, have come to life, but I need the right musicians. And my husband, I love him to death. He doesn't, he's not a blues person. So I put some feelers out there, and I got this great group of guys, right here in Jackson, Michigan, and put the Lexi Blue Band together, and we made all these originals of mine come to life. And I couldn't ask for better guys. We're so collaborative together. They're so magical. Like we clicked like that. And when you find that, it's like super special. And all these years I had this great cover band, but like my dream was to get those originals out there and pursue blues music, right?
Sure,
And
sure.
like that, my first goal of the Lexi Blue Band was like I wanted to go to IBC. Like that was like my goal, and we did it in that first year, and I was so happy. Like I was just like, okay, we got something here, So
Yep.
yeah, it's been a journey. It's been great.
Now, I want to step back for just a minute because you said something that caught my attention. You performed with your adoptive parents on stage in Vegas?
Yeah, so they would get me
What?
up,
Yeah, take
and
me
it
inside
was,
that opportunity. That sounds like a really cool thing.
yeah, it was really cool. It was very scary, to be
I'll
honest.
bet.
Because I was so young, and they're so experienced, and they're amazing. I mean, super amazing. And so to live up to that, like I knew I was, you're good, but like when you have like people who you look up to, that's like, I don't know, it makes you nervous. So it was nerve-wracking, but they were right there, helping me through everything. I had trouble really finding between my head voice and my diaphragm voice, and my mom was like, she helped me through that.
So it's important to note that you're not just a blues musician, Lexi. You're also a very busy mama with a family, and you're employed on top of that, aren't you?
So I have a husband, and we have three children. I have a stepson who's 20. And then my husband and I have our 12-year-old daughter. Well, she'll be 12 in a couple of days,
Okay.
and our 9-year-old son. And we have four dogs, four pitties. So we also are our fur parents.
Nice.
And yeah, I work at Ford Motor Company as well.
Now, you don't just have responsibilities for Lexi Blue, which is your stage name. As you mentioned a few moments ago, you have a cover band with your husband. I'm sitting here thinking about this. That's got to be quite a balancing act for both of you. Because I know that he accompanies you to many of your events that you go out on. How do you both do
Yeah.
it?
So we have help from family, so that's great. A couple of years ago, we moved my pop in. He was my stepdad at one point, but we're very close. When we go to gigs and stuff, he watches our kids and our dogs for us, which helps us so much. Like, we wouldn't be able to do any of this if it wasn't for him. Yeah,
Now,
super cool.
let's talk some history here. We got to flip the page here because you've not been in this business all that long, less than 10 years by my count, and yet you've made quite a splash since you stormed the stage, haven't you?
It's been really cool. Yeah. Like I said, right, it really kind of took off when my husband and I put the cover band together. And we made a name for our cover bands made a name in the Detroit music scene. And so it really took off with that. And we're great together. I know my name's on it, Alexandra Transit Band, and that name has a really long story that I'm not even gonna go into. It's really like he's so amazing. He really is. And like us together is amazing. Like I wouldn't want to do that band without him.
I have to tell you that I've seen you on stage with your husband, and it's
Yeah.
interesting to me the chemistry between a husband and wife. You have Chambers Delaurier, Thornetta
Yeah.
Davis. I mean, you all have this really cool chemistry about you and symmetry. Sonny Blue and the Moon, same thing. To see that chemistry unfold on stage and just allow you to, it takes you to a different place, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So,
Well, I want to go back just a half step here. Speaking of storming the stage earlier, if you've never seen this lady work, let me tell you something. I need a nap by the end of your first set. I really do. Seriously. I'm a professional photographer in addition to doing this program. And the first time I saw Lexi perform at our Michigan Blues Fest in Lansing a couple of years ago, I had to boost my shutter to high speed to stop her from moving. I mean, I'm serious. She's just all over the place.
So I just picked up the bass guitar about a year ago, and I play that in my acoustic band and sometimes in my cover band. And it's very hard for me. Like I love the instrument. I'm nowhere near ever being able to play and sing the blues because it's way different than like rock or country, because it's completely not what you're singing. Right. But one thing about that is I love performing so much. And like you've seen, like I'm all over the stage. And with a bass guitar, I can't do
You'd
that.
be knocking people
And
over.
sing, right? Yeah.
Now, you've been to Memphis to compete at the IBC not once, but twice, as we mentioned. Talk about that
Yes.
experience for me and kind of share what that process is like for somebody that's never been there.
So the IBC is a wonderful experience. It really is. It's very educational as well. So the experiences or the process is you have to go and compete locally, right, with one of your blues societies. And if you win, then you get the opportunity to go down to Memphis and compete. With all of these bands, it's international. And the biggest part of IBC is networking and meeting people. And everybody down there is so talented, so friendly. And you get to see, I like to say flavor of the blues. You get to see all these different acts with, and they all have their own flavor of the blues. And for me, the reason why it was so educational was the first year when I went down, I made it a point to go and see different bands, right? As many different bands as I could when I wasn't performing. Because first of all, I love seeing other bands, but also I wanted to see who else was here, and just catch as many as I could. I noticed that every single one of them had their own flavor of blues. And the reason why it was educational for me is because I'm a huge writer. I've been writing ever since I was a girl. I wrote poetry when I was a girl. I mean, notebooks, and now it's lyrics now that I'm a songwriter and singer. But it really gave me different ideas. And so it was very educational for me. And it really upped my songwriting.
Would you say that that would be your biggest takeaway from that experience is
Yeah.
getting those different varieties?
100%. Yes, I think that 100%, that was probably my biggest takeaway from that. So I have a Alexandria Bailey album out there. So that's my legal name. My stage name's Lexi Bloom. And before I, became Lexi Blue, my stage name. My whole biological family calls me Lexi, so that's where that came from. Before that, I have that album out there, and that was a very emotional album for me because that every single song on the album was written from a piece of my heart, like in my past that I needed to get out. As like I had a really crazy, everybody has a crazy childhood, I think, story, but my journey was different, and there was a lot of emotions that I didn't get out, and I think like writing really helped that, and that album helped me release that. Going down to Memphis, that changed that in me, like a lot. Watching all those bands and listening to things, I was like, okay, I think I can pull from different sources, like pull from different things, not just that angry, sad, mad emotion. And so yeah, I came back and I wrote a whole bunch of cool new stuff, and I was like, yeah, that's it. It was really cool. So that was my biggest takeaway from that. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Now, you also got to meet Michelle Seidman, the
Yes, I
National
love
Women
her.
in Blues, and you got to perform at the Women in Blues Showcase down there. Talk about that experience too.
Yeah, that was amazing. Oh my gosh, I was so excited that I got to do that. Full disclosure, the first year I went down to Memphis, I didn't know nothing how it was going to be, because you just don't know what to expect, like going in blind, So I didn't even know that there was like this Women in Blues showcase, So I didn't get to go to it because they have like the lists and stuff, but I didn't know if it was like for invited people or I really had no idea until after I met Mandolin and we became friends. And then she told me about it and I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I got to do it the following year. And Michelle is so cool, so awesome. Love her to pieces. God bless her for doing this because you know what? Women in blues deserve it. And if it wasn't for people like her, we wouldn't be, showcased. So, love that she does what she does. That was a chance for me to like meet other women that I've seen, on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and us be able to meet and talk and, give each other props. So yeah, it was cool.
And it's important to note that number one, you can't just ask to perform there. It is actually done by lottery. Number
Yes. Yep.
two, no boys allowed. It's just women of the blues. And
I know.
to me, I think that it's a very special thing
It
to be
is.
able to do a Women in Blues showcase like that, like we did up here in Michigan on a much smaller level. It
Yeah.
was an honor to serve as your MC for that evening. Because I got to introduce some of my friends, and it was very cool to see the audience treated to nothing but the women of the blues. And I think that, Joanna Connor is a good one that comes to mind,
Yeah.
that talks about how women are viewed as bitchy if they're too strong. And I talked to Ruthie Foster, and she talked about similar instances where she just, like she always said, she conducts herself as though she belongs in the room. And if people don't treat her as such, then she has no problem straightening them out. This is an opportunity for the women to have something special just for them down there. And Michelle does this every year. It's
I know,
cool.
it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it is very cool. And it's funny because I always thought, and no, I do not have the time to do this, but I always envisioned if I did have the time to do this, I think there should be more women in blues festivals. I really do. And have, these great women regionally, internationally, come to a festival in Michigan or a festival, wherever it may be, and we have 2 days of just 3 days of women in blues. I really wish there was a festival out there. I think it would be killer. Not to, push the men out or anything. It's just because, women, in music or in the blues, specifically, it's a lot harder for us in that, it just is. And the recognition when we get it's very appreciative and we're very humble about it and we appreciate it all. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Now, one more question about Memphis while you were down there. Did you get to hang out with any top-tier blues people during that week?
So, I don't think I got to hang out with anybody, but it was really cool. The first year I was walking into my venue and Danielle and Brandon were all on outside of my door, and I was like, hey, what's up, Danielle? Because I've seen Danielle for gosh, I don't know, many, many, many years, when I first, started going to her shows. And I was like, hey, I'm playing at the Blues Cafe, or yeah, I think it was the Blues Cafe. Oh, I can't remember the venue now. This is my set. You guys should come back. And sure enough, they came back. It was really cool. So
How cool is that?
that was awesome. Yep, that was really cool. And I, messaged her and Brand. I was like, thanks for coming. It was really, really sweet of them. It was nice. And but I don't think I got to hang. Oh, and the second year, and I know Thornetta, because she's a Michigander. So, but she was down there. Thornetta was down there, and I was in, I think it was Rum Boogie Cafe. Me and my bass player were. And she walked in, and so we did hang out with her for a second. She actually was asked to judge the finals for that year. So, we were talking to her in the venue, and that was pretty cool.
So, Lexi, what's on the roster these days for you? I know that you have a couple special dates on the calendar with some other women of the blues because we talked recently. Go ahead and share that information, would you please?
So October 3rd, we are headed down to Kentucky, which is it's really Cincinnati, Ohio. It's in the state of Kentucky, but it's just over the bridge of Cincinnati, Ohio. We're playing at Madison Theater, and that's going to be myself, so Lexi Blue, Mandolin and the Hunters, and Gina and Johnny. And Gina, I met this year at in Memphis, and she's a sweetheart and a amazing voice, soulful voice. So amazing. And Mandolin, I met last year in Memphis, and we became like instant buds before we even heard each other perform. We were hanging out in the venue, and our moms were hanging out. My real mom went down there with me the first year, our moms were hanging out and stuff, and yeah, we became really close. And so we're all doing a show, two shows together. And the first one's down in Kentucky, October 3rd, and you can get your tickets at the Madison Theater website. And then the second one is November 7th, and that's up here in Michigan, in Westland, Michigan, at the Token Lounge. And you can get your tickets at tokenlounge.com.
Very cool. Anything music-wise on the horizon for you with all your writing that you're doing?
Yes. Okay, let's talk
Woo!
about that. So I'm very bummed, but also it was a blessing in disguise because we started working on the Lexi Blue, the second album, last November. And so we were working on the music, and then we had some halts. We had to stop, and it was just a slow process at first. And then I was supposed to go in and record my vocals, and bam, that's when they found that big old polyp on my throat. And they were like, you need to stop singing immediately. They were like, this is the biggest polyp we've ever seen.
This was on the
And you
vocal
need
cord,
surgery.
correct?
Yes, this was on the vocal cord. Yeah. They were like, we don't even know how you're still singing. I'm like, I don't know. She goes, that's been there for years. She goes, that's, you have to get that removed like right away. And I was like, okay. So I had surgery May 19th, and I'm still in recovery. But I was cleared to sing like 50% of songs June 28th. So that's why I haven't been doing a lot of Lexi Blue gigs, because I'm the only singer. But my husband and I are doing acoustic and the other band, because he can sing half the songs. But so yeah, they had to put me under and go in and cut the polyp off. And I won't be fully recovered until November. So my normal voice is back, but my head voice, my falsetto, it's still like coming back, like that whoo, like that's still like, not fully there. So I'll be recording vocals in November when I'm healed, fully healed. And so once that album is done, it's called Too Glam to Give a Damn. Super excited for that to come out. And we'll probably won't release it until sometime next year, first quarter. So it'll probably be like February or March.
Well, when it comes out, when you're able to give me a digital copy to preview, let me get a copy. I will bring you on to do a promotional episode that we will air the week that your album is released. How's that sound?
I love it. Yes, perfect.
All right, fantastic. Where can people go to learn more about Lexi Blue? Maybe buy some of your incredibly cool merch. Can't wait till fall so I can wear my hoodie again. I got to get a t-shirt from you. Buy some
Yes,
CDs or
absolutely.
book you for a gig.
So LexiBlue.com, go to LexiBlue.com, has everything on there. So that has, if you go to store, it has all of our merch links. That's for Lexi Blue merch. You can purchase the merch right through Amazon. My husband is like really handy like that. So he's able to get all of our merch on Amazon. Or if you come to a local show, we always have CDs, t-shirts, hoodies, all that fun stuff. And then we're on Facebook, so give us a like on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel. Go on there. Our music video is on there for So Many Personalities. Give that a thumbs up. And yeah, LexiBlue.com is really where you can get all the contact information and everything.
And you book your own gig. So if they want to reach you, they just reach out to you personally and you'll take care of it.
Yep,
Awesome.
absolutely. Yep.
Lexi Blue, it has been my pleasure to have you here. I've been threatening to have you on solo and we finally did it, man. Thank you so much for joining me today on Time Signatures.
Absolutely. Thanks, Herb.
And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Lexi Blue, but also to you, for without you, none of this is possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.
Baby, I'm